Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome, 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 boys and girls. Helps if I turn on my mic. Hump Day, December 7th, guys. I tell you what, I want to take some time today to just kind of remember what happened here on December the 7th. And a lot of you history buffs certainly know what I'm talking about and what day this marks in history. And we want to take time to really talk about it. December 7th, 1941, obviously, it was the attack of Pearl Harbor. And we want to remember Pearl Harbor, and so we dedicate this show to everybody that was, all the veterans, and everybody that was at Pearl Harbor and suffered a tragic loss on the Japanese raid, from the Japanese raid on Pearl Harbor. It certainly was one of the great defining moments in history. A very well-calculated attack, and obviously we haven't seen that kind of attack on American soil against Americans, obviously, till September 11th, 2001. So we want to make sure that we take time today to remember Pearl Harbor and what it means to you. And so if you have any Pearl Harbor stories, perhaps, or if you're a survivor of Pearl Harbor, we'd love to talk with you. 917-889-8516. But we do have a jam-packed show for you coming up here just after the top of the hour. We're going to team up with 1400 WBAT in Marion and the Gary Snyder Show. And Evan Williams from Purdue University going to talk a little Purdue basketball with us and kind of wrap up the football season for us. And we're going to talk, some more about this Sandusky thing out at Penn State. You know, the story just keeps going and going and going, and it's just a very, very tragic story. And so we're going to make sure that we talk about that with Ed Kratz from down there in Philadelphia. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. This is the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back with Gary Snyder in 1400 WBAT.
Looking at issues of local interest, Ford Motor Company closed at 11.08, up 3 cents. Eli Lilly closed at 39.43, up 57 cents. WellPoint closed at 68.51, up 55 cents. Walmart closed at 58.51, up 9 cents. Vectren closed at 28.78, and it stayed the same. Lowe's closed at 25.20, up 43 cents. AT&T closed at $29.40, up 23 cents. And Citigroup closed at $29.83, up 8 cents. This is Ben Ann Kramer for Financial Advisors Royce and Luke Mitchell of Edward Jones, member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention and long-term financial advice at 1119 Western Avenue in Marion. Daily commentary is also on our website at www.edwardjones.com. Have a great evening.
This is Michelle Caruso Cabrera from CNBC's Power Lunch, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
On the Gary Snyder Show. Before we get to our guests and co-hosts and a long list of people joining us this hour, two things. First, let me tell you about Lehman 4 covering. That's where I went when I needed new carpeting for my home. Now, at first, I did what everybody else did. I went and checked out all the big box stores. When I did this, I found something was missing. Service. You know what I'm talking about if you've tried it. Then a friend recommended Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington. Not only did Lehman Floor Covering have all the top brands of carpeting, Mohawk, Stainmaster, Baylo, Shaw, and the list goes on, Lehman Floor Covering also had that special something that was missing from all those big home improvement box stores. Great customer service, attention to detail, and that personal touch. So if you're looking for new carpet, hardwood floors, tile, laminate, vinyl, heck, they even specialize in new baths and kitchens and carry H&K countertops made right here in Marion, Lehman Floor Covering will have what you need when you need it with the customer service you deserve. Lehman Floor Covering is your one-stop shop from ceiling to floor, and you know what? They would not have been in business for over 50 years if they weren't doing it exactly right. 50 years. Give Todd a call, 260-356-7226. Again, 260-356-7226 for a free estimate, or you can visit them on the web at laymanfloorcovering.com. Or just come on into their newly expanded store at 1940 Aetna Avenue in Huntington. All right, item number two. There are 35 children remaining on the angel tree for the Salvation Army. We need to make sure we get those 35 tags taken off the angel tree. The deadline to do this is Friday at 5 p.m. Here's what you need to do. Go to the Salvation Army here in Grant County in Marion. There'll be a tree in there. Take a kid off of it. Take a child. Go buy him something for Christmas. Return it back to the Salvation Army. Not too difficult. Now, if you cannot make it to the Salvation Army, number one, drop a check off here at the station. Say, hey, give this to Gary or give this to Jim Brunner. We'll make sure it gets to where it needs to go. Number two, I'm just saying, Jim Brunner has Chalk Talk tomorrow night from 6 to 7 at Buffalo Wild Wings. I was saying tonight. It's tomorrow night, Thursday night. Drop a check off there. Go have some wings. Listen to Jim and all the local basketball coaches. And just hand him a check and say, hey, Jim, make it happen for those 35 kids on the angel tree. He'll do that. All right, now, joining us every day at this time, Tom Marquis. Tom, say hi.
Hello and welcome.
Tom, I can't hear you. Turn up the mic, buddy.
I got it on now. I'm here. Welcome to the Balance Radio Network. We're streaming coast to coast, and so glad that you guys could join us. And with us is a young lad from Purdue University going to talk to us a little bit about some Purdue basketball and give us a wrap-up of some Purdue football. Mr. Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black. Evan, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Tom. How are you guys today?
Fantastic. Well, obviously, the Oaken bucket is back where it belongs. There, and I don't think that there was ever a doubt that you guys would get that. So I don't really want to focus a lot on the Oaken bucket, but what I do want to focus a little bit about, if you could kind of recap the football season for us and what's coming up, the Little Caesar Bowl.
Well, Tom, this year's Purdue season had good moments and it had its bad moments. It was up and down. Finished the regular season with a 6-6 record, which is an improvement from last year's 4-8 record. They won some good games this year. They beat a ranked Illinois team, beat Ohio State in overtime, and, of course, the big win in the bucket game over IU. And then there were some bad losses, lost early in the year to Rice, a team that they should have beat. Some really bad losses against Notre Dame, Michigan, and Wisconsin. So there's a little up and down. There's a couple injuries, key injuries for Purdue this year. Quarterback Rob Henry prior to the season tore his ACL out for the year. So that put junior Caleb Turbush in the starting position. First time he's actually played in a game in a couple years. So overall, I mean, there was lots of successful things about the season, and then there were some disappointing things about the season. But overall, I think Purdue had a good year, and I hope they're going to be able to build on that and keep it going through the Little Caesars Bowl.
Well, hi, Eric, and welcome back to the show. Let me ask you this. The Boilers finished 6-6. They do head up to Detroit to take on Western Michigan in the Little Caesars Bowl. Getting to a bowl and at least having a .500 record this year, do you think that relieved some of the pressure off of Danny Hope and maybe at least kept his job as the Boilers head coach for at least another year?
I do. Last year was a really disappointing year, I think, for everyone involved in Purdue football. They finished 4-8. And then, of course, the big blow at the end of the season, losing to IU at home to lose the old Oaken bucket. But I do think that because they made an improvement this year and there were still a lot of injuries that Purdue had to overcome, that Danny Hope's job will be safe. They made it to a bowl for the first time since 2007. Had some big wins this year, I think. Beating Ohio State is always a big deal, even though they're kind of having a down year. And, of course, winning the bucket game was huge, and I think that ultimately will help keep Danny Hope's job safe for at least another season.
Now, Evan, obviously the Little Caesars Bowl is coming up here, and that's a great accomplishment for Purdue to get there, but they've got to sell some tickets. Do you think that Purdue's going to sell enough tickets that they need to sell for this? I think it's like 800 tickets that they have to sell.
Yeah, something like that. I do think the tickets will go quicker. I know a lot of students have been taking advantage of that because the students get a reduced price. But Purdue does have a strong alumni base and a strong fan base that I think will make the trip up to Detroit. It's not too far away for us. So I think they will sell the needed tickets if they need to.
So what
are
your
thoughts
about
that? How important is it that they're playing in Detroit? I know it's, 2.5 hours away from where I live, so probably not that bad of a drive up to Detroit for a lot of the Boiler fans in this area to go up and catch that last game of the season.
I do think it's important that Purdue's playing their bowl game pretty close to home because it gives Purdue fans an opportunity to get to the game and to show their support for the Boilers.
Now, what are some of the keys to the game and we're going to move into basketball real quick here in a minute after this, but what are some of the keys to the game for Purdue to win that Little Caesars Bowl? Are you there? Are you there?
Maybe lost him, Tom. Hey, Tom, we try to get him back on the line. Let's take a quick break, and hopefully we'll have more with Evan. Right after our quick break here, right here on the Gary Snyder Show.
With the price of gas jumping up and down overnight, wouldn't you like to know how much a fill-up in your car is going to be? Central Indiana Ethanol is the local producer of clean-burning E85 and can deliver it to your home or business. Go to CIE.us or call 765-384-5800 and ask about an E85 delivered price of just $3.04 a gallon, helping the local economy and reducing our dependence on foreign oil. It's Central Indiana Ethanol.
Hello from Central Indiana Ethanol. We have your Chicago Board of Trade grain market update for this Wednesday, December the 7th. December corn closed at 582¼, down 3. March corn closed at 592¾, down 3¾. January soybeans closed at 1131, up 1½. March soybeans closed at 1141, up 1½. December wheat closed at 583, down 15¾. March wheat at 6½, down 12½. CIE's cash bid price this evening is 602. Please call us at 888-384-2676 for any information on your corn E85 or DDGs.
Hello again, sport fans. Jim Brunner with a look at Minuton Sports for this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Big evening of basketball right here on your Hoosier AM-FM radio stations. Right here on 1400 WBAT radio tonight, we should have a doozy. Number one in the nation, Indiana Wesleyan, traveling down to Richmond and the Tiernan Center on the campus of Richmond High School to take on Indiana University East. Their basketball team right now 8-1 on the year and ranked number 10 in the nation. Fourth time in this still young college basketball season that Indiana Wesleyan is playing one of the top 10 ranked teams in the nation. If you want Purdue basketball, we'll have them this evening. They'll be coming along the way this evening over on 860 ESPN Radio. The Indiana Pacers found out yesterday they'll be opening up their season on Monday evening, December the 26th, at home against the Detroit Pistons. That's what's happening in sports for this Wednesday. Jim Brunner reporting.
Pre-game. This is Network Indiana News.
This season, when you think about holiday giving, think about opening a College Choice 529 savings plan for a loved one. You'll be giving the gift of education, a gift that changes lives. Plus, when you open or contribute to a College Choice 529 plan, you may receive a 20% state income tax credit on the amount of your contribution, up to a $1,000 credit. And that is smart year-end tax planning. Find out more about the 529 College Choice savings plan and the tax credit you may receive by contributing at collegechoiceplan.com.
Indianapolis. Super Bowl 46 is coming to town, so come take the field of the NFL experience presented by GMC, the NFL's interactive theme park. Kick the game-winning field goal and shop NFL Shop for the latest Super Bowl merchandise. NFL experience presented by GMC at the Indiana Convention Center January 27th through February 4th. Get your tickets early for opening weekend by calling 1-866-TIX-4NFL or log on to SuperBowl.com. This is your Super Bowl. The NFL prefers Visa, the official card.
This is Michelle Caruso-Cabrera from CNBC's Power Lunch, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Back on the Gary Snyder Show, and again, we're joined by Tom Marquis. Tom, go ahead and take it.
Well, it's good to have you back here, and I think we have Evan back. Evan, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back, Tom.
All righty. Well, what we were asking you before we lost you there is what are some of the keys to the game that Purdue has to do to win the Little Caesars Bowl?
I simply think Purdue just has to play well on both sides of the ball in the game. They can't get relaxed on defense. They need to keep going and shut them down. And then on offense, they need to put points on the board. I mean, Purdue's played some games this season where they put a lot of points on the board, and then they've played some games where they had very little offensive output. So I think this is going to be one of those games where they're going to need to score a lot to win the game.
I think they could probably start number one key of the game. Don't eat any of that Little Caesars pizza before you go on the field.
Yeah.
All right, Evan, give us your prognostication on this game. Purdue, Western Michigan, who wins? What's the score?
Sorry, Gary, I didn't hear your question. What was that?
I said your prognostication on this game, Purdue, Western Michigan, who wins? What's the score?
Even though Purdue opens up as the underdog, I think they're going to win the game. I would have to say it'll probably be a 28-21 game. That's what I think. I think it'll be close, but I think Purdue will win.
All right. Well, we're talking to Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black, and so glad that you could join us. He's also a student down at Purdue University. You're a sophomore or a junior?
I'm a sophomore.
Okay, he's a sophomore, so he's given us the student fan perspective. So let's move on to basketball. I will want to take this opportunity to rub this in a little bit, since I am an IU fan. IU is undefeated, and they're getting ready to play the Wildcats of Kentucky. So I do want to rub that in a little bit. But tonight, you guys have got a game against West Carolina at Purdue. And so talk to us a little bit about that game, and what does Matt Painter have in store for this year moving forward in 2011, especially when we get to the Big Ten?
Well, Purdue's last game against Xavier didn't go very well. They had a big 19-point lead, and then they ended up losing by three. So I think what Purdue needs to do this game is they just need to come out hot and shooting and really need to put Western Carolina away early. They need to get up and get up big, I think, to help kind of help restore their confidence. You know, they're 7-2 on the year. They still have a very good record, and their two losses have come against top 20 teams. So it's not like they've dropped some, you know, easy games, like you could say. But I think Purdue just needs to find that third scorer. You know, Robbie Hummel, he's the obvious leader for the team. And then you've got senior guard Lewis Jackson, who's also been proven to be able to score and kind of run the game from the point. So I think Purdue, they're one of their keys to be successful this year. They got to find that third scorer. They kind of had the same trouble last year while Hummel was out. So I think guys like Ryan Smith, Tyrone Johnson, Anthony Johnson, Kelsey Barlow, they need to step it up and put some points on the board for the Boilers.
Well, when you take a look at the Boiler basketball team, obviously you know, we have Robbie Hummel back. How are those knees doing so far this year?
Robbie's doing good from what I hear. At the Xavier game, people got scared. They thought he might have had a knee injury, but really he was just cramping. He'd been kind of sick and was a little dehydrated, so he's just cramping up. But his knees have been healthy. He still looks like he's playing like he didn't have the injury. I mean, he's a little bit hesitant sometimes, I think, but I think that's just natural after you have an injury like an ACL tear. But Robbie's doing great. He's a leading scorer, leading rebounder, and he's doing everything that Purdue's asked him to do this year.
Now, tonight is animation night up there in Mackey Arena. Are you going, and what are you going to dress up as?
I am going tonight, but I'm not sure on if I will wear a costume or not. I may have to leave a little early tonight. I have a meeting tonight, but we'll see where it goes. But I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun to see everyone dressed up.
And they've got another thing up there, Gary, in Purdue. What do you guys call it? The Breakfast Club? You guys drink all night long and then just come to the football game in your pajamas?
Breakfast
Club. You still have a?
Yeah, breakfast.
How's that any different than Walmart then?
Absolutely. Well, let's look forward to the Big Ten real quickly here. We've only got a couple more minutes with you, Evan. So moving forward into the Big Ten, what does Purdue have to do to make a good showing in the Big Ten and on into the tournament, one would hope?
This year, I think Purdue, their biggest thing is they're going to have to rebound the ball to be successful in the Big Ten. Purdue's not a very big team this year. And losing Juwan Johnson, first-team All-American, that is really going to hurt as far as rebounding and defensive presence. But there's some guys who I think are going to be able to step up and take a load. Freshman Jacob Lawson, he's really impressed me so far with his game. And I think he's only going to continue to get better. But rebounding the ball is going to be very key in the Big Ten since Purdue is going to be one of the smaller teams. And then I think just scoring. In the Alabama game where they lost, they kind of lived and died by the three, and they died. So I think they're just going to have to work on scoring inside more and just putting points on the board.
Oh, okay, I thought Gary was going to go. All right. Well, real quickly, I know that you write a blog for with Purdue, about Purdue. It's all about Purdue, Bleeding Gold and Black. You talk basketball, football, women's basketball. Anything you want to tell us about anything up and coming with your blog there, or anything that you would like to talk about with about Purdue in our final moments here?
Well, Tom, my blog has been a little slow lately. The end of the semester is approaching, so I have to get ready for finals and projects and homework and all of that. So I've been slacking a little bit on the blog, but hopefully once I get my finals done, I'll be up and running again and really start posting some more on basketball. That's what I've unfortunately been really busy towards the end of the semester, so I've been lacking a little bit on my basketball posts, but hopefully after next week, after finals week, I'll be able to get back on it and really give my insight on the basketball season.
All right, Evan,
okay.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining us today, and good luck. I shouldn't wish you too much luck because I, too, am an IU fan. I do want to ask you real quick, though, before we let you go, and I think I forgot to ask you this, where do you see Purdue finishing in the Big Ten this year?
I think Purdue is going to be middle to upper half of the pack. I think Ohio State's the clear favorite. They returned so much, and they're just really good this year. But I do see Purdue finishing anywhere from, you know, I think they could finish 3 to 6 or 7. It just depends on how well they play in conference.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Evan. Again, one more time on the website where people can see your work.
You can find me on bleedinggoldenblack.blogspot.com, and then you can follow me on Twitter at Evan_Williams25.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy, and don't be a stranger.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, Tom, you know, when you take a look at the Purdue Boilermakers as they head into the bowl season in football and basketball, it's kind of odd that you see a 500 team, Big Ten team, start out as an underdog to a MAC team.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I'm curious to see how Purdue's going to do this year on basketball. In football, I'm glad that they got to a bowl game. I'm really disappointed that, Ball State didn't make it. I mean, I think there were 75 slots, and there were 77 teams. There were only two teams that didn't get selected for a bowl game, and Ball State was one of them. And so it would have been nice to see them in a bowl game as well. It's always good to see Indiana represented, but yeah, you're right about that as far as the basketball goes to the Big Ten I'm curious to see how that's going to pan out throughout the season. Obviously, basketball is a long season, and so it's a marathon, not a race, whereas football's a race. It's just to get as many wins as quick as possible. So, you know, it changes in basketball quite frequently. And coming up here next, after the news break, is we've got Ed Kratz calling from Philadelphia, going to talk some Penn State basketball with us, keeping in the Big Ten theme, and also some news out of Penn State as well concerning Sandusky.
Not good if you're Sandusky.
Not good if you're Sandusky, that's correct.
All right, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
The staff at Morris Home.
And this is the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente of the aforementioned. So glad that you could join us today on Hump Day. It is December the 7th. Remember, Pearl Harbor Day today. And you know, it's a remarkable time in our nation's history when we have to look back at times in our history such as Pearl Harbor and as September 11th. But it also, I just think that it really gives us a good understanding of our nation's history. So take some time today and just talk to a World War II veteran. I'm sure that they would love to talk with you. The attack on Pearl Harbor, it was called Hawaii Operation or Operation Owl by the Japanese Imperial General Headquarters. The base was attacked by 353 Japanese fighters, bombers, torpedo planes, and two waves. that launched from six aircraft carriers. All eight U.S. Navy battleships were damaged, with four being sunk, and obviously the most famous of that being the USS Arizona. Today, December 7th, 1941, America, we do not forget. This is the Balance Radio Network. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Talk some Penn State. What's going on with Penn State? Obviously, the latest charges with Sandusky and so forth. So we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio.
Bursting up and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees. They travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside. It's a 1-1 hockey game.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Getting you in the hockey mood, if you have not heard. Sidney Crosby out two more games for a hard hit he took the other night. The concussion syndrome, whatever it is, that seems to be plaguing Sidney Crosby, he will not be suiting up for at least the next two games as they keep him out, precautions. From a hard hit he took the other night, I think against the Bruins. So a little hockey flavor there. All right, before we get back to our guests, Freightco, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus a competitive FSC that's on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500 plus miles a week, and they are home on the weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call. Don't do it now. He's probably at home eating dinner. Do it tomorrow. 866-397-2581. Or just visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight-moving company. All right. We're also joined by Tom Marquis in the Balance Radio Network. Welcome, Tom.
It is always good to have you here on Hump Day. December 7th, taking time to remember Pearl Harbor as well, December 7th, 1941. We've got a great guest here on the line with us, and he's no stranger to the show, good friend of the Balance on Saturday mornings, Ed Kratz from Philadelphia. How are we doing, Ed?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad that you took time to talk with us today, because I know you're very, very busy covering the Philadelphia Eagles and you know, everything that is concerned with Philadelphia and Philadelphia sports. But we'll get to that in a minute. But one of the things I want to talk with you about and why we wanted to bring you on this show tonight is the brand new charges that have been levied against ex-Penn State coach Sandusky on even more charges of sexual abuse. So can you go ahead and bring us up to speed on that?
Yeah, sure. He was arrested today, and he is spending the night in jail, is my understanding, on $250,000 cash bail. And that is cash that he will have to post to be free from jail. In my understanding, I was told that his attorney will be posting that bail for him tomorrow, to get him free. He will have to wear an ankle bracelet to be monitored. His whereabouts will be monitored at all times until his hearing, which I understand is on Tuesday. And that's a cash bail that he's going to have his attorney's going to have to come up with, that's a lot of money, obviously. But today he was arrested for the two new charges. I think it was 12 charges in all, but two victims came forward, two new victims that are being referred to as victims number 9 and 10. They came forward with more, you know, very graphic, very horrific tales of abuse, more of the same. The grand jury report released their 23-page graphic report a couple weeks back, and now here come two more with more details. And it's my understanding that there could be another 10 to 15 victims that come forward here. So this is still just the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion, and yet it seems that the noose, so to speak, is getting a little bit tighter around Sandusky, who continues to maintain his innocence. We'll see if that doesn't change over the weekend when he has time to sit down with his lawyer before his preliminary hearing on Tuesday.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, we've heard his attorney on some of the national newscasts. Why the $250,000 cash bail instead of the 10% bond like he had in the previous cases? Has something happened, I guess, that warrants that makes him a flight risk, I guess?
Well, I'm not real versed in what the law would be, but my understanding is that it's up to the district attorney and a judge to set that bail, and if the charges are horrific enough, that bail does not have to be set at 10%. That is something that comes down from a judge, and if the crime, and no matter what the crime is, in any case, if it's bad enough in the judge's opinion, then it would be a full cash posting would be required, and not just the 10%. And I think because he was already released on a 10% bail initially, with the 23-page grand jury report against him, I think that the judge in this case said, you know what, if there's two more victims, more of the same, it's going to have to be the full cash balance.
Now, like you said, he continues to maintain his innocence, and we do certainly want to make sure that we clarify innocent until proven guilty. But it doesn't look good for him at all. And I don't know if we've talked on the air since the Bob Costas interview, but it just seems to me like after listening to that interview over and over and over and over again as it was played, that the way he answered those questions to me in itself is very, very disturbing. And why would his attorney let him get on national television with a guy like Bob Costas, knowing full well that all of that will be used against him?
Well, that's a good question, and, you know, the attorney would have to answer that. But what I found curious was that the attorney was in studio with Bob Costas, and Sandusky was on the telephone. Why in the world the attorney and Sandusky would not be in the same room is beyond me, because I think, you know, the lawyer needed to advise Sandusky on some of the things he was saying. That was the first thing that struck me. The second thing that struck me was when Costas asked Sandusky a pointed question: are you sexually attracted to young boys? I believe that was the question. And Sandusky, if the first answer out of your mouth isn't no, then I don't understand that, because and Sandusky gave a very long answer to that question, a 10-minute, very, you know, winding answer to that question, which before he even said no, and I'm not even sure he even said no at some point. But to me, the answer to that question has to be no, absolutely not, period, next question. It just seemed kind of strange that was the answer. And then additionally, in addition to the Costas interview, Sandusky sat down for 4 hours with the New York Times and talked to them. I don't know if anybody saw that story in the New York Times, but he defended himself about being attracted to young people in general. Did not really say no, he was not sexually attracted. When you have that word sexually in there, he doesn't really say no, I wasn't. He just says he's attracted to young people, and you know, that's kind of creepy, and it's a red flag in my opinion.
Now, are they keeping him segregated in jail away from the general population, or do they have him with the general population? Because my guess is, just from, you know, what you hear, that would not be a pretty sight if they kept him with the general population.
I'm sure. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm sure they're keeping him away from anybody. It's a county locked up. It's a county prison in a county where there's not a whole lot of offenses like this, obviously, that go on, and there's not a lot of killing and things of that nature. So I'm sure it's not a real crowded jailhouse, and I'm sure that he probably has a cell all to himself.
Now, do you think that perhaps he's on any type of suicide watch?
I would think so, yeah, absolutely. That was one of the concerns when this initially happened, was that he would kill himself. And in fact, when he was confronted in 1998 over one of the earlier charges, he said that he wished he was dead. So I would say that, yeah, he probably is on some sort of suicide watch. But if he hasn't, I hate to say it, I don't want to sound callous, but if he hasn't killed himself yet, I'm not sure this will do it. Maybe it will. You hate to think along those lines, but these details are so horrific, and it's just so hard to work up any sympathy or support for this person until he has his day in court, and that will come on Tuesday. And like you said, Tom, we're all innocent until proven guilty in this country. But right now, it just does not look good at all.
Well, we're talking with Edward Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and Calkins Media, who's bringing us up to speed on the whole ousted Sandusky charges on sexual misbehavior, I guess, is the way to word that. And so we want to switch gears a little bit. I know that we talk a little bit of NFL about the Eagles, and so let's talk about the Eagles. Michael Vick coming back in 3 weeks in time for the playoffs, and will the Eagles be there?
Yeah, Michael Vick is going to play on Sunday. He's been throwing the ball a lot better. Now, I spoke to him today in the locker room after one of the practices, and he still says that it's a little sore to throw, but he's able to put some zip on the ball, and he's able to do some things that leads him to believe he will be able to be effective on Sunday. He's going to play with a flak jacket to protect his ribs or some sort of covering, which is something that he did not play with earlier in the season, which is kind of surprising. It sort of surprised all of us when he said that, because he injured his ribs in a game last year, which forced him to miss three games. So it's kind of curious that he hadn't been playing with something like that. But now he will play with the flak jacket. He promises that he's going to try to slide a little bit more when he takes off running down the field instead of, you know, taking a tackler on one-on-one. So he's starting to realize, I think, the value of staying on the field and being accountable to his team. But my today, all systems go, he's going to play Sunday.
Well, that brings up DeSean Jackson then, who looked like he pretty much quit on his team the other night. What's going on with DeSean, and will he be suited up on Sunday?
DeSean Jackson wants to get paid. It's the old Jerry Maguire line, show me the money. He wants to get paid what he feels he's worth. In my opinion, he has really kind of quit on this team. Andy Reid came to his defense on Monday during his press conference and said that that is not the case, that the NFL Network tried to drum up something that wasn't there. They showed a sideline picture of Vince Young talking to somebody. DeSean Jackson was shown kind of slumped on the bench, staring vacantly forward. But what the NFL Network didn't show was right next to DeSean Jackson was Riley Cooper, another wide receiver the Eagles have, who was starting in place of Jeremy Maclin, who was injured. So Andy Reid came to DeSean's defense saying that the kid he's all in, he has not quit. I'm not sure he's doing that just to kind of get on DeSean's good side a little bit, that maybe he'll play these final four games. But I'll tell you what, DeSean has not been available to speak to anyone in the media this week. But I think with what happened with Matt Forte, in Chicago, Matt Forte is in a similar situation as DeSean. He's on the last year of his contract, a contract that he has outperformed as well, and he's looking to get paid. But Forte was all in, and he injured his knee. I'm sure you're all aware of that. You know, he got hit on the knee, and he's out, I guess, 2 to 6 weeks is the last report I saw. And now DeSean is going to see that, and he's going to say, you know what, that could be me. So I don't think things are going to get any better with Jackson. I'd be surprised if they do over these final four games. Maybe having Michael Vick back will inspire him a little bit. I know him and Vick had a pretty good relationship last year. They were on the same page a lot. DeSean Jackson had eight plays of 50 yards or more with touchdowns, which tied an NFL record. And Mike Vick was responsible for getting him the ball on those deep passes. So maybe having Vick back will inspire him. I find that a little bit hard to believe at this point, especially given what happened to Matt Forte this past weekend being injured with a knee.
Can you hold to a quick break?
Sure.
You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
A year to remember the late Bill Green. A year to follow the progress of Billy Shepard. It's yet another storied season of Marion basketball on the station that's been telling the Giants story for over a half century. 1400 WBAT.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
specific limitations and exclusions.
This is Lou Holtz, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show, and I have no reason why.
Back here on the Gary Snyder Show, Guns N' Roses heading into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and big Guns N' Roses fan here. All right, Dom, go ahead.
It's hard to top Guns N' Roses, but I think Ed can do that for us. I want to make sure we get as much from you as we can, Ed, here in the next few minutes. We were just talking with Evan Williams about some Purdue basketball. Obviously, IU doing very well in the Big Ten. So let's talk a little bit about Penn State and how they're doing going into the Big Ten. Obviously, they've got a game tonight. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Nittany Lions and the Hoops.
Well, I wish I could. I have not really fully plugged into Hoops yet, to be honest with you. But you know what? Listen, the top Guns N' Roses, let me bring a little information to the Penn State football coaching search, if you don't mind. I don't know.
Right,
I don't know what anyone has heard out there reporting wise, but my understanding is that Penn State is going to try to name a new head football coach by the end of next week. They want to have somebody in place before they play in their bowl game on January 2nd against Houston. And it seems to me that right now there seems to be a lot of coaches who are backing away from the Penn State situation and the ugliness that is surrounding it at the moment. I had heard David Shaw's name bandied about from Stanford. He has since pulled his name out of it. There have been a few other coaches that have kind of ducked away from it too. But my understanding is that right now Penn State, some of the board of trustees are trying to lure Chris Peterson from Boise State to take that head coaching job. Now, Peterson has already turned down several head coaching jobs, including most recently UCLA, where he was offered a pretty good amount of money to take over UCLA. But my understanding is two of the board members, or two of the trustees, I should say, from Penn State are former wrestlers, and they seem to be very persuasive. They were able to talk Cale Sanderson, a wrestler who was 159-0, I believe, in college and coached at Iowa State, into coming to Penn State, where he led Penn State into a national championship in wrestling this past year. And it was these two Board of Trustee members who were able to talk Cale Sanderson into leaving Iowa State, to come to Penn State. So they're really working hard on Chris Peterson, the Boise State coach. My understanding, too, is that the Harvard football coach, Tim Murphy, is also being considered at this point. These are two men that are not affiliated with Penn State in any way, shape, or form, which my understanding is the Board of Trustees is trying to aim for someone like that. Now, if they can't find anybody to take it because of all the poison that's around the program at the moment, then they may have to turn to Tom Bradley, who is the current interim coach and who is really lobbying hard to become the next head coach. Of course, when you look at Bradley, you have to look at the fact that he was on Paterno's staff. He was Jerry Sandusky's successor when Sandusky abruptly resigned following the 1998 season. But he has been loyal to Paterno. What he knew and what he didn't know as far as what happened with Sandusky would have to be vetted, obviously. They would have to figure out what he knew, what he didn't know. But he could also become a candidate. But my understanding is they're really trying hard for Boise State football coach Chris Peterson to take over that job. And also, if Peterson doesn't do it, then maybe the Harvard coach Tim Murphy steps in and does it. Murphy brings a lot of integrity. You know, his classes, his football classes have all graduated. Obviously, Harvard's a very good school. The problem he brings is that he has not really had a lot of experience dealing with recruiting of players. Harvard does not give athletic scholarships, so that would be something that would need to he would have to overcome. But I think at this point you're looking for someone that to kind of move ahead and move away from what happened with Jerry Sandusky and with Joe Paterno. So, you know, it's not Guns N' Roses or Penn State basketball, but I hope that gives you a little insight into what's going on with the football situation, the coaching situation.
Well just absolutely. Real quick before we go, Sidney Crosby out two games due to a hard hit the other day against the Boston Bruins. And just comment if you will. I'm a big hockey fan. The Flyers kind of clean house a little bit over the off season. Got rid of Brad Richards. Claude Giroux seems to be picking up the mantle there. Just kind of give us a quick outlook on the Flyers. And are you looking forward to the Winter Classic?
Yeah, everybody here is looking forward to the Winter Classic. The problem is the weather's been about 60 degrees. So hopefully the weather's going to be what the weather's supposed to be for December and early January, and they'll let some ice be able to freeze, and they'll be able to play the game on January 2nd. I think the Rangers have a very improved squad this year, too. I think the Flyers, they're one of the younger teams in the league. I believe they're playing seven rookies on a fairly regular basis. Of course, they went out and signed Ilya Brizgalov to the big contract in goal, hoping that he would be the answer to a position that has really haunted them in terms of turnover. Since Ron Hextall, really back in the late 90s. I mean, they haven't had a very stable situation at goalie. They're hoping Ilya Brizgalov can be that guy. They have turned over to youth, Claude Giroux and Jaromir Jagr. You know, there's a name from the past.
That's far from youth, my friend.
I know. Well, he actually lends kind of a steadying presence, I think. And, you know, he still has the hands. He still gets a lot of respect from officials. They kind of let him do what he wants out there.
And they do. I hate to cut you off, Evan, and maybe we can talk a little more hockey next time, but it's going to be hard to beat the Winter Classic up in Buffalo a couple of years ago in the middle of a snowstorm. Real quick,
beautiful.
Where can people find your work as we got to get ready to leave the air here?
PhillyBurbs.com/Eagles. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Tom, how about you?
Well, obviously, www.thebalanceonline.com, Twitter, T-Balance, stick around, Balance Network listeners, as we broadcast hour number two, as it was heard on 1400 WBAT.
You know, Tom, we really need to do more hockey talk.
I'm all for it. I they say great conversations are the people that you surround yourself with. So I'll just book some really good guests. They can talk hockey.
All right. Hey, you've been listening to the Gary Snyder Show. I want to thank all of our guests today. Tune in tomorrow. You've been listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
It's always great to have Gary and the Gary Snyder Show here on 1400 WBAT. Guys, it is December 7th, and December 7th, 1941. The United States was attacked by Pearl Harbor, the worst attack ever on United States soil at that time. And obviously since then we've experienced 9/11. But take some time today and think a veteran and think a World War II veteran. If you can talk to one, I'm going to tell you what, it's a fantastic story. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that Ed Kratz could join us and give us a kind of an insight of what's going on over there at Penn State. And he's certainly become a good friend of the show. And we always like to talk some Eagles and some Flyers and Sixers. So, you know, if you're a Philadelphia sports fan, you know, he comes on from time to time. And he will be on the Balanced Gridiron on Saturday. We're going to talk more in depth about this whole Sandusky thing, as well as Penn State and their bowl opportunities. My name's Tom Marquis, and this is the Balance and Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back with hour number two, as it was heard on 1400 WBAT.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, G Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
This is Michael Reagan, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Two things before we get to our next guest. First of all, Barry Bunker Chevrolet. They are your hometown Chevy and used car dealership. Whether you're looking for that new Chevy or that perfect used vehicle, Barry Bunker Chevrolet has the car or truck you're looking for at the price no one will beat. And when I say no one, what do I really mean? Exactly. No one. With their amazing inventory and deals to move that inventory, and that's important. Barry Bunker Chevrolet is your one stop for Marion, Huntington, Bluffton, and the surrounding area for that new Chevy or used vehicle. Now let's talk service. Keeping your GM vehicle running at its best shouldn't be complicated, and there shouldn't be any guesswork involved. Let Barry Bunker Chevrolet's certified service technicians make maintenance simple for you. They are the one-stop shop for all of your maintenance and service needs. So here's what you need to do. Give Barry a call. You know the saying. 866-466-1956. Again, 866-466-1956. You can visit them online at barrybunker.com or just head on over to their store at 1307 North Wabash Avenue right here in Marion. And experience the Barry Bunker Chevrolet difference. Now, I should not have to say this because you all should know it by now. But here it goes anyway. The name that is on the door is always on the showroom floor, Barry Bunker Chevrolet. All right, item number two, the Salvation Army Angel Tree here in Grant County. They are down to 35 children that are still counting on you to have a Christmas. The deadline is 5 p.m. Friday. You need to go to the Salvation Army. Let me pull up that address. 359 North Bradner Avenue. Pick a kid's name. Pick a child's name off of the angel tree and make sure that these children get something for Christmas. If you can't make it down to the Salvation Army, bring it up here. Leave a check for me. I'll make sure it gets to the Salvation Army and a kid gets picked. Heck, Jim Brunner, he's going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings tonight doing Chalk Talk starting at 6 o'clock. Take a check to him. He knows what to do with it. So help us out and make sure these 35 children here in Grant County are taken care of. All right, now we are pleased to be joined by the former Indiana State Party Democratic Chairman, Kip Tu. Kip, welcome to the Gary Snyder Show.
I'm glad to be back. It's getting to be a regular thing, and I have to say, I don't know whether it's your producer or you who picks the music, but we can agree that you got a good taste in music.
That is myself. I am host, producer, sales, promotion, you name it, I am it.
Well, good for you. That's pretty funny. What do you want to talk about today? You want to talk about how the governor mysteriously found $300 million in an account, or
we can start with that. I saw that news this morning that the state found through, I don't know, an audit or something, found an extra $320 million laying around. And, you know, that kind of caught me off guard because, you know, you find $20 laying around, not $320 million laying around.
Well, I think we cut education funding in the state over the last biennium by over $300 million, so it's not an insignificant sum by any stretch of the imagination. And so I just find it baffling beyond belief that that kind of error could be made. That's a pretty big mistake. You know, on orders of magnitude, it's huge. But it does remind me, I actually have a blog post about this today, so I'll repeat what I said in the blog post. Have you ever seen the movie Office Space, Gary?
I believe so.
It's it tells the story of these guys in the office, IT. They're in IT, and they're disgruntled workers, and they figure out a way to juice the system so that every transaction, a couple of tenths of a cent or cent, go into an account that nobody else knows about, and they end up making off with a whole bunch of money. Looks like a sort of similar situation here. I don't know how you set up a software program to put money into an account over the course of 5 years or 4.5 years, and that money suddenly somebody figures out that it's in this other account. I mean, there had to have been a bank statement that somebody got somewhere. I mean, a bank gets $300 million in an account. They're going to, it's the state's money, but the state doesn't have it in their own account. It's in a bank somewhere, so there's got to be some sort of statement somewhere that says there's $300 million. So it's not adding up. It seems really strange to me that big amount of money had been unaccounted for.
Well, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, and the way I heard this was that this was money set aside going into a specific account. I don't know whether they forgot about the account or what the case was, but this money has just been sitting there accumulating over a certain period of time, and an audit actually found it. And if it weren't for that internal audit, it'd probably still be sitting there.
Well, I know we have a state treasurer, and we have a state auditor, and we have a state board of accounts, and we have a budget agency, and we.
Well,
have...
I think the state treasurer is a little AWOL right now, running for U.S. Senate.
Well, it could be that the governor was AWOL running for the United States president, and he wasn't paying enough close enough attention. I really don't know, but I can tell you that it's not something that ought to be lightly passed over, and I think the. the House of Representatives and the Senate ought to really seriously take a look at this, because this is a pretty big error. I know the governor is trying to spin it as found money and it's Christmas and all this other stuff, but I think that's the spin I guess I'd try to put on it if I'd made that big a mistake myself. But it still bears, I think, a little bit more investigation how something this big can happen in state government.
Now, with $320 million as a Democrat, what do you propose be done with that money?
Well, you're not going to be too surprised, Gary, but, you know, we've got a couple bridges that are falling down here in the state. And I think that that money ought to go to existing needs. I think sending it back so each taxpayer gets about $50 is not going to be stimulative enough to our economy to make much of a difference. And we do, as I said, we cut over $300 million out of education funding. We have not yet invested in early childhood education in this state, which is, according to every study, the single most cost-effective thing you can do to improve education. Of any of the reforms that have been talked about in the last 15 years in the United States, every study shows the earlier you can get to children who are at risk and get them in a situation where they're learning, the less cost you're going to have further on down the line. Both in, you'll also increase the chances that they're reading by the third grade. You reduce the dropout rates, which, of course, people with high school educations, graduations, are less likely to be involved in welfare, criminal justice system, all those things. So if you pay for this kind of stuff on the front end, you save a lot of money on the back end. Unfortunately, government budgets don't get looked at that way, even though they should.
Hey, Skip, can you hold on through a quick break?
Sure.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Hello, this is Steve Edwards, Superintendent of Marion Community Schools. For me, Live United is more than just a simple catchphrase. It is a statement that represents what we collectively can do as Grant County citizens to make our communities a better place to live. I realize by making a personal donation to the United Way campaign, I can assist the agencies that support our citizens and make our communities stronger. I encourage you to join me in making a contribution to United Way. Live United.
Please join the Salvation Army and Walmart to help Grant County kids have a wonderful Christmas with the Toys for Kids campaign. While shopping, pick up a new toy or bring in slightly used toys to the Marion Walmart and put in the large boxes right inside the doors now through Sunday, December 11th. Toys are then distributed to needy children who wouldn't have a Christmas without your generosity. Put a twinkle in the eyes of a child. Donate to the Salvation Army and Walmart's Toys for Kids campaign at the Marion Walmart.
Conservation purposes as a game bird habitat area. This is Network Indiana News.
This season, when you think about holiday giving, think about opening a College Choice 529 savings plan for a loved one. You'll be giving the gift of education, a gift that changes lives. Plus, when you open or contribute to a College Choice 529 plan, you may receive a 20% state income tax credit on the amount of your contribution, up to a $1,000 credit. And that is smart year-end tax planning. Find out more about the 529 College Choice savings plan and the tax credit you may receive by contributing at collegechoiceplan.com.
I'm Zach Seif from Breakaway Bike and Fitness. Here in Peru, we give out directions by using landmarks of where businesses used to be, like take a left where Jones's Sporting Goods store was. Some empty storefronts are a result of the unfair advantage Amazon.com and other online-only retailers enjoy in Indiana. They don't collect sales tax, but stores like mine do. Indiana needs to level the playing field. To find out more, visit IndianaMerchants.com.
Work out anytime you want, 24/7 at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion. We offer the very best cardio equipment with satellite TV on each piece, over 10,000 pounds of free weights, and group fitness, including Zumba. Sign up now and get an extra free month with your new membership. Work out for less than a dollar a day, plus have free access to all Anytime Fitness locations anywhere in the country. Stop in for a free 7-day pass only at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion.
Hello, this is Governor Mike Huckabee, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Joke town, town in the night, 9:30 on a Tuesday, just to check out the late night record shop. Call it imposing, call it composing, call it insane. When I'm through that I just can't stop. It's a matter of instincts, a matter of conditioning, and a matter of fight. You can go where Pablo's off. Ring a bell and I'll celebrate.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Before we get back to our guest, Kip Two, former Indiana Democratic Party chair, Schaefer's Indiana Turf. They're up in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your snow removal needs this winter, including the top of the line Ariens snow throw snow blowers, and they still have Gravely Hustler and Dixie Chopper mowers in stock, discounted to move. Keep in mind, they still have all the winter accessories for the Dixie Choppers. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929, and if you're doing the math, that's a really long time. Or if you're actually doing the math, that is over 82 years of serving Fort Wayne, Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area. And keep in mind, it doesn't matter where you bought it or what brand it is. Schaefer's Indiana Turf can and will fix it in their state-of-the-art service center. Give them a call, 260-489-3391, or you can visit their store at 5202 West Washington Center Road, just up the highway in Fort Wayne. You can visit them on the web at indianaturf.com. And remember, if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. If you can't remember all that, all you really need to remember is GarySnyderShow.com. And we still have our poll up with over 200 people voting here in the last 24 hours. Should poor children be forced to work as janitors in their local schools? Surprisingly, 53% say yes, 47% say no. All right, Kip, maybe you'd like to comment on that real quick.
All I got to say is, holy cow. I don't know what to say about that. I do believe that it's important that we teach the kids a work ethic, but what I'm hoping is that kids are concentrating on school and learning and those types of things when they're that age, and we don't do away with child labor laws in this country, but apparently there are folks that think differently. I find that unbelievable.
You know, and I would fall in line with you here because, what are you going to do with all of the janitors that you fire, number one. Number two, aren't there more pressing issues facing us today than child labor laws? And number three, you know, a lot of the kids that I knew growing up that were poor, had a stronger work ethic than the rich kids.
Right, no question about it. But, you know, that's a proposal that the leader of the Republican Party for president right now made last week. I think he clearly was talking off the top of his head and didn't think it all the way through. So my guess is it's not a serious proposal. But he is leading, and some polls just got released today. He's way ahead in Iowa. He's way ahead in South Carolina. He's way ahead in Florida. And he's within striking distance. He's cut the gap in New Hampshire. So unless Newt Gingrich blows this himself, which he is, you know, shown he's perfectly capable of doing, he is in the driver's seat with a month to go till the first caucus. So it's going to be interesting.
You know, and as someone who tends to be more conservative or libertarian, you know, I'm finding it hard to support any of these Republicans except for maybe Ron Paul. And my wife is a big Ron Paul fan, and you know, he may be the only one left to actually support when all is said and done here.
Well, you know, I'm not going to give you advice on who to support on the Republican side because I'm a Democrat, but I would say this about Ron Paul. At least he's consistent. His ideology is consistent. I think that he brings a consistent message. I don't know that the rest of the Republican Party agrees with his foreign policy initiatives or his drug policy initiatives, which of course are more libertarian. He doesn't want America in foreign wars any longer, and that certainly would save us a lot of money in Treasury, but I think there's, you know, argument on the other side that we have to make sure that we're safe, and, you know, obviously there's been a long debate about Afghanistan and Iraq and whether it made us more or less safe. I would argue Iraq was a complete, utter, chaotic, worst decision of a president in a century. But Afghanistan is a much different question because the hijackers trained, of course, in Afghanistan. Osama bin Laden was in Afghanistan during the time of the run up to 9/11. So there was a Taliban that was helping Al-Qaeda. So there really was a reason to get in there and try to root that stuff out. But none of that was happening in Iraq. So I don't think you want to talk about that for another 20 minutes. So we can talk about something else. I do know I've heard rumors that the governor is going to come out in support of a statewide smoking ban. Have you heard that rumor lately?
I have not, but that was my next question to you. Senate Pro Tem David Long, as someone who tends to be more conservative and libertarian, it seems like a lot of the Republicans these days are the ones playing Big Brother and promoting some of this stuff. And we had State Senator Jim Banks on just before you who said, you know, he would not support a statewide smoking ban.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It's been proposed every session that I can recall in the last 5 or 6 years. Usually by Representative Charlie Brown. The governor has kind of quietly supported it, but it wasn't one of his big agenda items. And of course, when a governor gets behind it, generally it has a greater chance of passing. Although I will say that, you know, politics would tell you that this governor is a lame duck. The legislature all are running for election this next cycle. The governor is not. They're going to be looking out for their own hides, not looking out for his hide any longer. He's not running for any office now, although there's talk that he might be the vice presidential candidate. I don't know how serious that is. I don't think that they'll turn to him. I think Marco Rubio will be the consensus choice, but I could be wrong about that as well. So that's a long way of saying I think the legislature is going to be looking to cover their own behinds, like I said, and not too worried about his agenda. But a statewide smoking ban, you know, I understand the libertarian argument, and on these kinds of issues, I tend to come down on the libertarian side, except for this one specifically. And the reason why I disagree with libertarians on this issue specifically is because it's not about the person's freedom that's putting the cigarette to the lips. It's about the secondhand smoke that other people are affected by. And so, and you probably know this, and you've heard all the arguments, the secondhand smoke that comes out of the cigarette or out of the mouth is a type 2 carcinogen, which is the same which is as dangerous as asbestos. And we spent billions of dollars in this country ridding all public spaces of asbestos because we knew it caused cancer. And so it seems to me that if it was important to get rid of asbestos, it's important to not have people exposed to secondhand smoke.
Well, and again, I tend to fall on the other side of that. Real quick, state Supreme Court Justice Randall retiring. Any comments on him?
Justice Shepard, yes.
Randall Shepard. I have it. Did not turn the page here.
You know, the I guess the best thing I can say about Randall Shepard, and there's many, but I do disagree with the decision that was handed down last year that caused all the controversy about your ability to protect your own home from someone invading.
You and me both.
Yeah. I will say this about, well, you know, sometimes liberals and conservatives agree on too much power of the state. It depends on what it is. But Randy Shepard, one of the most respected judges in the whole United States, held the chief justice position longer than anybody else in the country, held it through two Democratic governors when they both had opportunities to shove him off as the chief justice, but both thought he was doing a great job, and so they decided to keep him as a CJ. So it's been a great tenure for him. I haven't agreed with all of his decisions, obviously, but he has, I think, been a good representative for Indiana as far as the judicial branch goes.
All right, Kip, real quick, where can people find you on Facebook, Twitter, blogs, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I've neglected to mention my blog, but I am on Capital Watch blog, which is part of the indie channel, RTV Channel 6. I'm a regular contributor there, so you can find it there if you wish. And I also am at Twitter at Kip2, K-I-P-T-E-W, and my Facebook page, of course, is Kip2. So thank you for having me on. I enjoy it every week.
Thanks a lot, Kip, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
It's not Christmas in Grant County until you and your family attend the annual Christmas show put on by the Marion Philharmonic. This year's show, titled An English Christmas, will be performed on Saturday, December 10th at 7:30 p.m. at the Philippi Performing Arts Center on the campus of Indiana Wesleyan University. Some of the best Christmas music ever written will be part of this family-friendly performance. So bring everyone out to get ready for the holidays. To order tickets, call the Phil at 662-0012 or go online to marionphil.org. An English Christmas, performed by the Marion Philharmonic, Saturday, December 10th at 7:30 p.m. Order your tickets today.
If you're a man over 40, you may feel like half the man you used to be. After 40, your body's testosterone level may start to drop, but there is something you can do. Call for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 61% and maintain healthy normal levels. Call now to try Ageless Male risk-free. Just call 1-800-784-8930. That's 1-800-784-8930. Call 1-800-784-8930.
Applications are now being accepted for the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Central Indiana Scholarship Program. Winners of the RMHC Scholars, African American Future Achievers, HAWSAIR, and Asia Scholarships will be awarded $5,000 in scholarships. Applications are due January 27, 2012. Additional information is available at rmhc.org. That's rmhc.org.
You have me, the radio guy. You have David Pennicuff, the newspaper guy from the Chronicle Tribune. Then you have Ed Breen, the newspaper guy who has become a radio guy. Throw us all into a room at the same time with three microphones, and what do you get? Well, either this or CT Talks. Join us and call us the third Friday of each month for CT Talks on 1400 WBAT. Ed Breen, David Pennicuff, and me, Tim George. On WBAT, we keep you informed.
Bringing local news to Marion, Fowlerton, and all of Grant County, we are 1400 WBAT.
From the WBAT newsroom, I'm Layla Price. Investigators from the Federal Aviation Administration are looking into the crash of a small plane last month that killed four people. Investigators say the pilot flew past his intended landing site because he apparently did not see it. Marion auto dealer Ray Harris, his daughters Ramey and Shay, and a family friend Christopher Backus were all killed when the plane crashed near Crystal Lake, Illinois on November 26th. Bad weather and the lack of experience on instrument landings are the focus of the FAA's investigation into the cause of the crash. Indiana Superintendent of Public Instruction Dr. Tony Bennett believes Marion is a success story in two ways. First, he says Marion is a success story for the way the community came together to help Marion High School off probation. Second, he says Lakeview Christian School is a success because of what it offers and because of the state's voucher program that opened up opportunities at Lakeview.
What I tend to do is look at it in terms of, is it increasing educational opportunities for children? So I think what we saw here was a sizable increase in children of need, children from low and modest income families who believe they needed a different setting. And so they came here. So from that perspective, I believe the voucher program was incredibly successful for those families, those children, and those parents.
Bennett visited Lakeview Christian School Tuesday, and he's hopeful that an increase in the state's voucher system in 2012 will open up even more doors of opportunities for families in need of an education alternative for their children. And as the Salvation Army prepares gifts for distribution on December 15th for the Angel Tree program, 35 children still remain unclaimed. Anyone who hasn't yet selected a child to help this Christmas can still do so by stopping by the Salvation Army office on North Bradner Avenue in Marion by Friday at 5 p.m. From the WBAT Newsroom, I'm Layla Price.
1400 WBAT forecast for this afternoon. Partly cloudy and breezy with a high of 35. Tonight, clear and cold, a low of 23. Thursday, becoming partly cloudy with a high of 35. Thursday night, mostly cloudy and cold with light snow developing after midnight, a low of 25 degrees. Friday, mostly cloudy and cold with occasional snow showers, a high of 33. And Saturday, mostly sunny and cold with a high of 28. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
This is Fred Thompson, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck, and I...
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Before we get to our next guest, two things. Freightco, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus a competitive FSC, and that is on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500-plus miles a week, and they are home on the weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes, with many being drop and hook. So if you are looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call, 866-397-2581, or you can visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. And our good friend Jim Brunner, he wants everyone to know that the Angel Tree from the Salvation Army still has 35 children left to serve. So here's what you need to do. You need to go down to the Salvation Army and get pick a name off of the Angel Tree and make sure one of these 35 remaining children have a present for Christmas. If you can't make it down to the Salvation Army, bring it up here to the radio station. I'll make sure it gets there. Or, hey, Jim Brunner's going to be at BW3 tonight, Buffalo Wild Wings tonight, with Chalk Talk from 6 to 7 p.m. Drop it off to him. He knows what to do with it. 35 kids left. Make it happen, people. All right, right now, every day at this time, we're joined by co-host Tom Marquis. Tom, say hi.
Happy hump day to you, Gary.
Thank you. And we are also joined by Phil Kirpin. He is the vice president of Americans for Prosperity. Welcome back to the Gary Snyder Show, Phil.
Hey, great to be with you.
All right, you have an article out that kind of caught my attention. The Reins Act ends, unchecked bureaucratic power. Please explain.
This is a bill that they're going to be voting on in the House pretty soon. They're voting on amendments right now, so they're going to probably vote on the bill before the end of the hour. And this is a bill that says for the major rules, the regulations that have a major impact on the economy, instead of the bureaucrats just being able to put them directly into effect, they would propose them to Congress, and Congress would have to vote on them, and they would only take effect if they're approved by the House and Senate and either signed by the president or there's a veto override. So in other words, for the major regulations, the ones that have a big impact on our economy, this says we're going to follow the process the Constitution outlines for passing laws, that our elected officials are going to decide instead of the unelected bureaucrats at the EPA, FCC, FDA, IRS, et cetera.
And I know I probably shouldn't have to ask this, but why is this important?
Well, I think this is critically important because what's happened over the years is Congress started passing these broad, vague laws that just give more and more power away to the bureaucrats, and then they impose rules that have huge, huge costs, both in terms of the economy and in terms of lost freedom, rules that really manage every aspect of our lives in all different areas. And those rules need to be subject to some accountability. Our elected officials need to be in the loop. They need to vote on them. A lot of times these bureaucrats are using laws that were passed 40 years ago or more and trying to create new ways to use them that are totally disconnected from anything that any of our current elected officials had in mind. And so this is really important to make sure that the rules governing the U.S. economy and governing our lives are approved by the people we vote for. And if they're bad, then we have a chance to hold them accountable at the next election. You never get to vote for the bureaucrats.
Tom, go ahead.
Well, it's good to have you here, Phil. And I think that it's a good bill. And I kind of agree with Gary in some aspects. I don't know how much it's actually going to stop. As we currently know, there are plenty of laws on the book that is supposed to prevent people from doing things they're not supposed to do, but yet they continue to do that. But one of the articles that I noticed about you on the Tea Party's website, basically they look at this as a success. Can you explain to me why the Tea Party would think that this bill is a success?
Yeah, because the idea for this bill actually came from a Tea Party activist in Alexandria, Kentucky, Campbell County, Kentucky, named Lloyd Rogers. And he's an amazing 78-year-old activist, a guy who grew up in an orphanage, served in the Navy for 4 years, came back, worked at Cincinnati Bell for 30 years, and then kind of late in life, he got involved in politics, studied the Constitution, took classes in public speaking, and he ended up becoming really a kind of a powerhouse, a force there in northern Kentucky, a guy who was one of the top activists working on Rand Paul's campaign and became a city councilman in Alexandria, Kentucky, although he no longer is, and very active in the Tea Party. He had the idea for this bill originally. He took it to his congressman, Jeff Davis. From this one guy with a great idea, it's about to pass the House today and be halfway, to being a law. And I think that's pretty amazing, pretty remarkable that one person, one Tea Party activist with a good idea, was able to take it to his congressman and move it as far as it is, with it passing the House today, most likely here in a matter of minutes. And I think it shows that someone with a great idea can still make a big difference in this country, and people should take heart in that and stay engaged and stay active. And the story behind it really is amazing, because those three counties in northern Kentucky were subject to a Clean Water Act consent decree for stormwater management by the EPA, doubled their water bill, $1 billion consent decree. And this guy went to his congressman. He said, "I've studied the Constitution. How can the EPA double my taxes without you voting? You're supposed to be my congressman. Why don't you have a bill that requires Congress to vote on regulations like this?" And now they do, and it's going to pass the House today, and we're going to have to keep the pressure on to try to get to the Senate. We may not be able to do it until next Congress, but I think it's pretty remarkable that from an idea in a great 78-year-old activist's head to passing the House in less than 2 years.
Let me ask you this, Phil. Is this a bill that you think would garner some bipartisan support in the House, or is it another one that's going to probably fall along party lines?
I hope some Democrats vote for it. We're going to see here soon. I will tell you, I watched most of the floor debate, and I didn't see a single Democrat speak in favor of the bill, which I think is very disappointing. And a lot of these Democrats that went down to the House floor today said some really ridiculous things. I mean, Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas said this would literally shut down the government. And
we're used to that from Sheila Jackson, though.
Yeah, she's pretty bad, but Jerry Connolly from Virginia said this replaces the rule of law with the rule of the jungle. And I'm thinking, well, I thought that Congress voting on stuff is the rule of law. They're the people elected to do this, but said that. And Carolyn McCarthy, Democrat from New York, said that these regulations are too important to be decided by Congress. So I'm kind of wondering, if the Democrats all vote against this, I don't think they should call themselves Democrats anymore, because they don't think that the people's elected officials should be making the decisions. They want the bureaucrats to make all the decisions. I think we ought to call them the Bureaucratic Party.
Among other things. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I love your work, and your book. I applaud you on your book, Democracy Denied. That was finally somebody agreed with me on how Obama is and his radical views, and how he just doesn't think that Americans have the capability of making up their own minds for themselves. And so I'm wondering, and I know it's a little off topic, but I'm wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about your motivation about writing that book and and talk to us a little bit about, because I think that it is very pertinent, especially coming up to an election year with a new president.
Well, thank you. And the RAINS Act is one of the chapters in the book, so it is related. And you know, I think this is one of the most important measures to deal with what I talk about in the book, which is the way that this administration is abusing executive and regulatory power to pursue an agenda that's already been rejected by the American people. And I really, what got me to write this book was this press conference that the president had the day after the election last year. And this was an election where, among other things, this cap-and-trade idea of global warming energy taxes was emphatically rejected by the American people. Dozens of Democrats who voted for the bill in the House lost their seats over it. Remember, the Senate never even took it up. But Joe Manchin, who, by the way, is the only Democrat co-sponsoring the RAINS bill in the Senate, which is interesting. Joe Manchin, he got elected by shooting a bullet through the cap-and-trade bill, literally, in one of his TV commercials. And the day after this election, where this idea was utterly repudiated by the American people, the president was asked at a press conference what happens now on cap and trade, and he said, well, that was only one way of skinning the cat. There are other means to the same end, and I'm going to have the EPA do it. Basically, I'm just going to have the EPA act as if that bill or something like it passed and just go ahead and twist 1970s-era laws into pursuing the exact same policy. And that really, to me, was the moment where I said, you know, this guy is not going to change course based on this election, one of the biggest landslides we've ever seen. He knows what he knows, and he doesn't care what the American people think, and he's going to impose his views on us regardless. And you know, I thought at that point, I really want to catalog this phenomenon in all the areas in which it's going on so that people understand, so that they see what's happening, and so that we can fight against it.
Now, usually as we move towards an election, candidates tend to move towards the center. We don't see President Obama doing that. He was, out in Kansas yesterday, probably moving more to the left.
Well, I mean, I think he has to right now, because he's got to somehow recreate that sort of excitement and the novelty and the whole sort of sense that people were part of this big thing. I mean, that's how he got elected. He made it a happening. And he got all these people who were never engaged in politics before who were really excited and were out there working for him. And now they've seen him in action, and they've seen what's happening to the economy, and people are kind of like, they might still like him personally, but they're not all excited and jazzed up about his campaign the way they were last time. And so he's trying to get out on the campaign trail and recreate that magic and dazzle people so that he'll get his base fired up and engaged again, and they'll go do all that volunteer work for him the way they did last time. I think it's going to be very difficult for him to replicate that kind of excitement, but that's what he's trying to do with these speeches.
Now, Phil, what are your thoughts overall, generically speaking, over on Occupy Wall Street? And do you believe, kind of like what I do, is that this was all, no pun intended, trumped up by Obama so that he would, because he honestly believes that he's going to run against Mitt Romney and didn't expect that Newt would be doing as well as he's doing. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think the Occupy Wall Street thing is pretty sad, actually. I mean, I think these are a bunch of kids who sort of grew up with an entitlement mentality or used to getting participation trophies for last place, and they think that everyone ought to get more or less the same, whether they earned it or not. And the Occupy Wall Street demands, to the extent they agree on anything, are pretty much just kind of institutionalized envy. They want stuff that people earned because they want it, and they ought to be given it because they want it. And I think it's sort of a juvenile mentality. I don't think it's one that resonates with the broad American public at all. But I do think it's interesting that most of the Democrats have endorsed it, because they see it as kind of their version of the Tea Party, their kind of new, shiny, exciting thing that they think will give them some momentum. But I think they've made a big miscalculation endorsing this movement. There have been all kinds of crimes. There have been all sorts of problems. They're not paying for permits. They're not paying for the extra police protection and the rest of it. And I think it's going to be a major liability for Democrats that they endorse this movement, especially because you got people like Michael Moore out there saying Occupy Wall Street is about revolution and capitalism being evil and has nothing to do with just winning elections, because elections aren't enough anymore. I mean, there's some really extreme things being said that, if you think elections aren't enough anymore, why would someone vote for you in an election? So, I mean, I think they're, I think it's actually going to hurt Democrats more than it helps them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the presidential campaign for a second, if you don't mind. Newt seems to be rising to the top right now. Mitt still hanging in there. A new CNN poll actually has Mitt up instead of Newt. And Ron Paul, you know, he's up in the mid-teens, close to 20 now. Is this going to be our final three, or do you see some other dynamic happening that can maybe, I know the Sarah Palin crowd is pushing Santorum, and Perry seems to at least be trying to make a comeback.
Perry has got a lot of money, and so you really can't count him out. I think that as long as you've got a lot of funding to hang in there, anything can happen as long as you're able to raise the money to stay in the race. And so he could reemerge. I think there's been a lot of talk in sort of the chattering class about people giving another look to Huntsman. I think if he wants people to take another look, he better sign the tax pledge, which he's the only candidate who hasn't signed, or else people are going to think he wants to raise taxes, and that'll pretty much make him remain a non-starter. But I'll tell you, where things stand right now, it looks like it's going to come down to Romney and Gingrich. And, you know, I don't know that either of them is a real dedicated, limited government kind of guy that Tea Party activists can fully embrace, but they sure are both trying to say the right things now.
Bill, do you think that it's more important that American voters, Tea Party activists, keep the House and the Senate as opposed to really focusing on the presidency? Or do you think that, you know, we need the presidency along with the House and the Senate?
Well, I think I frankly think that control of Congress is absolutely crucial. And, you know, I'm not just talking about Republican versus Democrat, but I'm saying we've got to have enough people in Congress who really believe in limited government, because we've still got 100-plus Republicans voting for bloated appropriations bills. They're going to vote to continue 99 weeks of unemployment benefits, a lot of things that I think are not consistent with limited government. But Congress writes the laws, and if you can't get genuine limited government majorities in the House and Senate, it's going to be very hard to really affect a course correction for the country, no matter who's sitting in the White House. And so I do think that it's really critical that we start to demand that members of Congress, whether they're the current ones who sort of wise up or new ones who win elections, start to get serious about reducing the size and intrusiveness of the federal government and, you know, standing up to the administration, whoever it might be. I mean, just because there's a Republican administration doesn't mean you should let the bureaucrats and regulators do whatever they want, because even the bureaucracies led by Republicans will try to do more than they really should. And so having Congress kind of be committed to reducing the size of government is absolutely critical.
All right, Phil, we need to start wrapping things up here, but first, my question, is there anything that you wanted to cover or discuss that we did not ask you?
Well, I'll just mention, since you guys brought up the book, that everyone who doesn't have it yet should go buy it, and you'll learn a lot in there, I think. And, you know, if you don't like it, then let me know. I'll refund you personally, but I'm pretty sure you'll like it.
All right, let's move on to websites. Obviously, you can pick the book up at all the major retailers, but let's move on to websites. Do you need stalkers on Twitter or Facebook, any of that good stuff?
Sure. My Twitter is my last name, Kerpen, K-E-R-P-E-N, and the Facebook is facebook.com/PhilKerpen, my full name, and the personal website is philkerpen.com. The book website, democracydenied.org, and the organization website, americansforprosperity.org. So that'll keep you busy all day.
One last question here. Where can people find your work at? I know you write for several different publications.
I have a column on foxnewsopinion.com, and I also write for National Review and you know, a variety of places. But philkerpen.com is usually the best, because I usually try to post everything there, or at least links to everything.
All right, Phil, thanks a lot, and don't be a stranger.
You got it. Have a good one, guys.
All right, you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
24/7 at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion. We offer the very best cardio equipment with satellite TV on each piece, over 10,000 pounds of free weights, and group fitness, including Zumba. Sign up now and get an extra free month with your new membership. Work out for less than a dollar a day, plus have free access to all Anytime Fitness locations anywhere in the country. Stop in for a free 7-day pass only at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion.
21st Century Firearms. They're at 827 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6 Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
This is Governor Jesse Ventura, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
All right, this is Scott Abbott, Murder in the City. If I get murdered in the city, don't go revenging in my name. One person dead from such as plenty, no need to go get locked away. When I leave your arms, things that I think of, no need to get over alarmed. I'm coming home.
All right, I want to thank Phil Kirpin for coming on, and Democracy Denied is his book, and I know we had him on not too long ago regarding that. He is talking today about the RAINS Act and it passing, or at least attempting to pass Congress. All right, just a quick reminder here. The Salvation Army here in Grant County, they have 35 children left on their angel tree. That is 35 children that may not get a Christmas present this Christmas. They're counting on you. The deadline to go into the Salvation Army, pick a name off of their angel tree, is 5 p.m. Friday. Make it happen. These kids didn't ask to be where they're at, but you can help and help make their Christmas an enjoyable one. Again, go to the Salvation Army. You're going to pick a name off of the angel tree. There are 35 children left. And make sure these kids have a Christmas. If you can't make it down to the Salvation Army, bring a check in here to me or WBAT. We'll make it happen. Jim Brunner. He's got Chalk Talk tonight starting at 6:06. He's going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. He's the one that made sure I got this paper. Take a check into him. He knows what to do with it. All right, next hour should be interesting. We'll talk a little sports. We'll talk a little Jerry Sandusky. Want to thank our guest that hour, Kip Two, former Democratic state chairperson, and also Phil Kirpin, Vice President, Americans for Prosperity. Don't forget, get into the angel tree. Make it happen. You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.